amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine.
Thank you. What a blessing. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Yes, sir, brother.
Eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
right this evening. Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you, everybody. It's good to be home. There's no place like home. Amen. It's good to be back. And we're just going to read tonight from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. We'll just go right into the Word and look at a little something. So let's just go to the altar before we get into the Word. Lord God, we thank you, God, for your grace to us to be able to gather back together with your people here at our little home church. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace to us, giving us traveling mercies going and coming and all the things, watching over our family and Zach and Esther and everybody while we're gone. And we just thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness to us. Now tonight, Lord, we pray, God, that you'll just, Lord, that you'll feel welcome tonight, Lord Jesus. For truly, Lord, we can all say that we would be nothing without you, Lord God. And I need you, Lord, tonight. I need you to help me, Lord. We need you to open up your word to us, Lord Jesus. We yield ourselves to you, Lord God. And Lord, as your prophet said, if we could get ourselves out of the way, then deity could be expressed. Deity can be manifested. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to just get out of the way, Lord, that you can speak to your people and something will be said to edify and to help and strengthen your bride. We ask this blessing upon your word. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Hebrews chapter 1, and there's several things in the book of Hebrews I just want to look at tonight. So just kind of gave the brothers a few scriptures, but we'll start with Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, I want to just maybe call your attention to the way that the word spoken, there's a lot of references to spoken. Spake in time past, hath spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, by his word, by his spoken word, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You may be seated. The Lord added his blessing to the reading of the word. It's good to have everybody back up here, isn't it? Amen. So I want to take for a little topic tonight. Can y'all hear me okay? Everything? Testing. Good. A little topic tonight, the Word made flesh. I think that's maybe a real important topic for the day and hour that we're living in, because something's, as Brother Branham in the message, who is this Melchizedek, at the end of it, he said, Lord, he began to pray and he began to call out to God and he began to say, Lord, I believe something's about to take place. And you can see, so let's kind of go back through this scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So we know that Paul here is relating that in many times, just kind of, I'm a southernified a little bit, just kind of southern, simplified a little bit so that it may be easier to understand. In many, many different times and many different ways, God spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So we know that God actually used the mouth of the prophets. He got in the prophets and Brother Branham and Christ is revealed in his own word began to relate to us how that those prophets would get themselves out of the way so that they could get themselves out of the way so that they would get in tune with the thought of God and God would actually be able to use their bodies to speak, their mouths to speak to the people. So God began to manifest himself through the mouth of those people, through the spoken word. He began to manifest himself. Hath in these last days, think about back then when Paul was saying, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now how much more pertinent, how much more important, relevant that is in these last days, really in the last days, when God has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So you see, Brother Branham, when Brother Branham was on the earth, it wasn't actually his words. It's not like the message of a man that we've heard, but it's actually the words of God actually speaking through a man that yielded his self to allow God to speak through him. Amen. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God, and the Word, so you can see in the message, who is this Melchizedek, that God, the Brother Branham, is bringing something down. Bringing something down so that you'll catch something important. And if you read in John chapter 1, verse 14, just kind of skip ahead, it says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. So that Word that started off in attribute form, Word, attribute, Word, eventually wound up in flesh again, where you could look at it and touch it and talk to Him and say, well, now the things that we've heard about, the things that maybe once were just in the mind of God, now we actually see it present before us. A present tense, living God, something there in our midst. Now, Brother Branham, he talked about how that, you know, Satan can impersonate any kind of gift. Any kind of gift he can impersonate. He can impersonate signs and wonders. He can impersonate all lights and flashes and dreams and all those kind of things. But there's one thing that he cannot impersonate, and that is the Word. And brother, the reason Brother Brown said he could not impersonate that is because the Word is a person. So he cannot impersonate that person. That person is somebody, and he cannot impersonate that person. So if you have that person living on the inside of you, there's no way for the devil to be able to impersonate what that person is doing in you. The effects of that person, the things that that person is doing inside of you are unimpersonatable. Is that a word? He cannot, Brother Brown said, he cannot bring that Word, the devil can't, he cannot bring that Word, word by word, because there's a person on the inside that's revealing that to you, it's opening it up, and the devil cannot impersonate that. In other words, he cannot impersonate a true revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when your eyes begin to open to the truth, there's no way that the devil can impersonate that. Amen. Brother Brown said that's where the tape on false anointed ones or anointed ones, they can be anointed with the Spirit, speak in tongues, dance, shout, preach the gospel, and still a devil. Now, let's dwell on that a little bit, because I've heard people around the message, people around, saying things like, well, that once you get to a place, there's a particular sign that you just know by that sign. When the sign gets really magnificent, then you know that that person is telling you the truth. No. No, you don't know by the sign. You don't know by the sign. You know by the Word. The Word is what gives you the evidence. The Word and the Word expressed will have works, because works follows faith. When you believe, it will change your life. When you believe the Word, it will be opened up to you, and you'll begin to act different and talk different, because faith will express itself in works. But the Word is the evidence of the thing, not the sign. So don't get all. I feel like we could preach on that for like 30 more minutes. Don't get caught up in a sign being done and ignore the Word. Somebody could do a sign and have a totally false doctrine. Totally false doctrine. And it would lead you astray. It would lead you off the correct path. And it would be completely wrong. I hope everybody sees that. If you don't, you know, we just keep preaching it, you know. Brother Ram said, in works is faith expressed. He said, that's where the outside can reason. You take a man and say, well, you know, I know I'm not supposed to commit adultery, but you know, and the Spirit tells me I shouldn't commit adultery, but you see, way down in there is still that thing in there. Way down in there, way down on the inside, is still that thing. So he begins to deal with the Word. You see, the Word is not dealing necessarily with the outside or with the Spirit. It's dealing with the thing that makes you who you are, way down on the inside, the thing where the captain of the ship is guiding the ship, steering the ship. That thing way down on the inside, your soul, is where the Word is having its influence. Now, y'all don't start falling asleep on me already. Goodness gracious. I'm excited. Brother said, well, you know, he said, see, it'll kind of govern around, and better watch it, because the thing that's still causing you to mess up is still down in there. If you don't get the Word, fill that innermost part of yourself with the Word. He said, but when it's directed from the inside, it throws all the rest of it together. That's the guidepost. That's the control tower. The inside of the inside. The soul controls the spirit. The spirit controls the body. So what we're dealing with, we're trying to get that soul changed so that you can begin, it begins to work from the inside out and begins to take you over. The word actually taking you over from the inside. And Brother Ram said, and Christ is revealed in his own word. He said, now you can't think with your body. You think with your mind. And in there is where too many of Christians only stop. And they can, just like the corn in the field, and my, you think about that. How many Christians will stop in the spirit realm and be satisfied with just sitting in church, just being around the emotions and the spiritual aspect, just be around the religion, and they won't go on because the devil will begin to trick them into thinking that they're okay, that they're fine with just being a good religious person. Remember how in the greatest battle ever fought, Brother Bram said that the devil, that's what the devil wants you to do, is just sit there and just not go forward. A Christian is always moving on. A Christian is always going, moving and moving and moving and not stopping, moving on toward what? Toward perfection. Moving on to perfection. And he said, there is where too many Christians only stop, and they can, just like the corn in the field and the wheat in the field, the weed in the field, they can be anointed with the same Holy Spirit that the real believer is anointed with. And remember, if I take a cucumber and cut it open, if I could take a cucumber, now we're all cucumber. We come into the world all prickly and not at all like a wheat, not what we're supposed to be. And God can, that's what he's doing. He's cracking that cucumber open. And he said, listen to this. He said, remember, if I take a cucumber and cut it open, draft into it the heart of a wheat and put it there, bury it, it would bring forth a wheat out of the cucumber, no matter what the outside is, what the emotions, no matter what the outside could be prickly, it could be all tore up on the outside, but if you put that wheat germ on the inside, it is going to change it. Now, you see, so many times we look at the outside, we look at our flesh, and we begin to get our eyes on that instead of the Word. You see, get your eye on the Word, and it will begin to change you from the inside out. It doesn't matter what the outside looks like. Listen, it don't matter if you're a drunkard, if you're an alcoholic, if you're tore up in sin, all kind of quagmire, all kind of stuff. If you get the Word on the inside, and you begin to give your heart to God, it will begin to change you. And there ain't nothing can stop it. You get somebody to give it over to God and believe in God's word, it is going to come to pass. God is going to take that person over. You see, that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to take people over. He wants to take you over. He wants to take the church over. He wants somebody to be so yielded to them that he can speak through them, that he can use their voice. I got to listen to watching that video that Brother Luis did where he colorized the deep calls to the deep, and I just began to just look at that and be amazed at how there's a man that would talk to people as they come up in the prayer line. I'm talking about Brother Branham, and he would say, I don't remember what I just said. I don't know what I just said. Was that right? And you see, because God had so took him over until he was using his lips and speaking through, he was using his eyes and using his hands. You see, God wants to do the same thing with you. He wants to use you to talk and witness to other people. He wants to use you so that you can be yielded to him and be a blessing to the world. Now, Brother Branham, you see, because it's the inside. The inside is what we're dealing with. The soul. The inside. And Brother Branham, and the message, y'all can tell what message I'm preaching from now. I'm actually preaching from a combo of two sermons. Who is this Melchizedek? And Christ is revealing his own word. And the reason is because at the end of who is this Melchizedek, it's like Brother Brown just kind of stops and he doesn't get to his point. He doesn't quite get to his point and he goes to prayer. But if you'll hop over 2 or 3 months later and begin to listen to Christ is revealing his own word, he says it plainly. He says plainly what he's trying to get across. He says plainly the point that he's trying to make. So I'm kind of blending those two messages together here a little bit. And Brother Branham in the sermon, Who is this Melchizedek? He begins to talk about attribute, word, flesh. And there's a pattern there. And if you begin to see what's actually taking place, how God brought himself down, attribute, Word, flesh. That is the same thing that's taking place in your own life. He begins to talk about attributes, and he says you were in your great, great, great grandfather all the way back, physically speaking. Then that's what you are in physical being, nature. Sometimes a child would be born in a family redheaded. It astonishes the father because there's nobody he knows of his people redheaded or the mothers. But if you'll go way back to several generations, you'll find out somebody was redheaded. If you go way back in your genealogy and find out, look, investigate, you'll find out where that red hair came from. You'll find out where that red hair came from. And that's the same way that you and I do when we look in the Bible. We're finding out where our actions come from. When we begin to express the Word of God, we look back in the attribute of God's Word, and we go back and we can search it out and see if we identify with the Word, and it begins to give us confidence. Because now not red hair or anything, but now we know the reason why we act like our father. The reason why we begin to take on his own characteristics. Why we begin to manifest the same thing that Jesus did as he walked on the shores of Galilee. Because we're manifesting the same attributes. The same God that walked there is now manifesting again in flesh. And you can prove that by looking at the Word. It proves, it identifies where you came from. It identifies who you are. You can look into the Word and see your own self, your own reflection. Isn't that what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12? For when now we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. And a glass is a mirror. When you're looking in the mirror and you don't quite see the reflection. But then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. Now listen, he's talking about looking in the mirror and seeing at first real foggy and everything. But after a while, you see the reflection of Almighty God staring back at you. It's, you see the reflection of the Word looking back at you. Because as you eat the Word, you become the Word. You eat the Word and you become the Word. And the more you eat, the more you look like Almighty God. Because that's where you came from. You came from Him and you're going back to Him. You came from God and the proof is in His Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Look, he's saying, you look in the mirror and you're beholding the glory of God. You're looking in the Bible and you're looking back at yourself, but you're not seeing your reflection. You're seeing the reflection of a holy God, because that holy God has made you perfect. Are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, He's changing you into His image. He's changing you into His image as you eat the Word. Listen, that's how any child knows where it came from, by looking, finding out what mama, where's mama is. And that's why Peter said, I believe it was Peter said, that New Jerusalem is the mother of us all, because New Jerusalem is the Word, and we can look back to the Word to see where we came from. You can look back to the Word to identify yourself. To know whether you've really got the Holy Ghost. To know whether you've gone through the same journey that Abraham went through. The same journey that Brother Branham said, and who is this Melchizedek, said, he said that Abraham went through the journey that every believer will go through. Every believer in this last day goes through the same journey that Abraham went when Abraham met Melchizedek, God in flesh. And Brother Brown said, in Christ is revealed in His own word. He said, now the same thing is this. If you are a son of God and if I am a son of God. Do y'all mind if I take this off? If you are a son of God and if I am a son of God or a daughter of God, we were in God at the beginning. We were in God at the beginning. And when Jesus became the fullness of the Word, then we were in Him, germ form. When He was crucified, we was crucified in His body. When He arose from the dead, we rose with Him. Why? Because we were part of Him. That eternal life that you have now was part of Him. You're so connected with Him that you were there. That eternal life that's in you now was there when He died on the cross. It was there when He spoke the world into existence. Because you, that eternal life, were part of Him.
When he was crucified, we was crucified in his body. When he arose from the dead, we rose with him. And now since we have recognized it, have you recognized it? Have you recognized it? You know that's what the preaching of the gospel is for. The preaching of that we can lay out all the plan and everything, and slowly and surely you begin to get it. And slowly and surely your eyes begin to come open. And one day you begin to recognize all of the things that Brother Brown was trying to get you to see. And then you become an invincible army because you recognize who you are and what you're doing here, that you're not here just to play church or just to keep the seat warm, but you're here to fulfill the word of God for your day. Now we sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, for he, if we are sons and daughters of God, we are God's children, then we are attributes of God. We were God eternal life, and God is the only eternal life there is. Then we were in him from the beginning. And when Jesus became all that word, then we were a part of him then. My goodness, to recognize that you're part of something. You're not part of a movement. You're not part of just some fellowship. You're part of the Almighty God. You're part of the Creator. And that eternal life that was in you, that's in you now, was with him all the way back and will be with him forever and ever and ever. Eternal life. And Brother Brown said, when that's in there, there is no devil, no powers, no nothing can ever move it. You see, that is the tie post of the soul. You see why the word is the tie post of the soul? Because the word begins to open up to you your position. It opens up to you what your inheritance is. It opens up to you what you have access to, what you have a right to. You've got a right to eternal life. You've got access to it. You've got access to Almighty God. You've got access to all the benefits that are packaged up in him. You've got access to it. And don't let the devil ever tell you you don't have access to it. Brother Brown said, you become the attribute expressed. And that's why in John chapter 1 verse 14 it says, and the word was made flesh. Now it's talking about Jesus here. Jesus walking on the shores of Galilee. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I'm just going to skip down a little bit. Do you know, I'm going to get into Hebrews here a little bit. Because in the book of Hebrews, Paul begins to break down to the people. He's breaking down to the Jews. He's trying to make a defense. Now see, Brother Branham preached, who is this Melchizedek? Because he's trying to identify to the people, who is this Melchizedek? Right. Now Paul, when he began to preach to the Jews, He laid out in the book of Hebrews, the first part of it, he's trying to convince them of the truth of the gospel by convincing them who this man Jesus was. Who this man was. And he begins to lay out all of the Old Testament tabernacle types and how that all of the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies, and all of the furniture that goes into that, all of those symbols that are part of all of the Old Testament type, all of those things, they're really speaking of Jesus Christ. You see, now the Old Testament had all these symbols that when you really look at it in the right way, it's actually speaking of Jesus Christ. The New Testament also has symbols. The New Testament, when you look in the book of Revelation, it has all these symbols of the seals being opened up, the white horse rider and the beast and all the different things that are speaking of something that's actually taking place. You see, those symbols aren't there just to like tell a fun little story, but the symbols are there to actually represent something that's actually taking place. That's actually there, that God is actually doing, that the devil is doing, and the white horse rider and all those things, but they actually represent something. So you see, Paul begins to expose to the Jews there as he's preaching the book of Hebrews, as he's telling them those things. I'm talking to you about a man. I'm talking to you about that this is actually God made flesh. You see, Brother Branham, and Christ is revealed in his own word. He said, so the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And it was wrote by prophets. God, who in sundry times spake to the fathers by the prophets, in this last day speaks to us through his son, Jesus Christ, which was the prophets, all of them put together. Jesus was Malachi. Jesus was Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah. All that they were in him, and all that you are and all I am is in him, words, witnesses of the word. And so the whole Bible together, as these people are speaking, they're actually opening up the Bible as a complete plan
and revealing Jesus Christ. The whole Bible together reveals Jesus Christ. I'm not getting too deep now. Don't cross your eyes now. And Brother Branham begins to explain how that, let me just skip down to the book of Hebrews. So we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. So Paul is convincing the Hebrews of who Christ was. He's convincing them of who he was. And he begins to appeal to the need for a high priest, a different kind of high priest. Now in the Old Testament, they had a priesthood after the order of Aaron, we'll say. After the order of Aaron. But now you need a priest after the order of Melchizedek. After a different kind of order. So why do you need a priest after the order of Melchizedek? Why won't a priest after the order of Aaron do? Why would that not be sufficient? Now, Paul begins to lay it down in verse 14. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Do you know you have a high priest? That is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast your confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Maybe they did in the Old Testament, a priest after the order of Aaron. Might not be touched by the things that you're going through. He might be real busy with the things of life and whatnot. He might not be touched with all of the different ailments that you go through. But we have a priest that is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. When you're going through a rough time, when you're going through a rough spot, he knows what you're going through and he's made an atonement. He's already made the price. He's already paid the way if you'll just look to him. But was in all points tempted like as we are. He's already gone through all the things that we've done, all the headaches that Brother Brown talked about that he read about in the Prince of the House of David, all the different things of life. He knows what you're going through. Yet without sin, it says. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he's saying we've got a high priest that is willing to help. We've got a high priest that knows what you're going through. We've got a high priest that is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. So come boldly. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back, but come boldly to this man that's willing to forgive you if you'll just come the provided way. This high priest is not like that old priesthood after the order of Aaron, but this is a God priest, a priest that was veiled in flesh, a priest that is able to forgive you of all your sins. So we read in Hebrews chapter 5 verses 1 to 10, it says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So now Paul is he's appealing to the Jews that this is a different kind of priest than the one that you've been taught in your schooling. This is a different kind of priest than the one that you are acquainted with. This priest can take away your sins. This priest is after the order of Melchizedek that did not have a father or mother that had eternal life. This is a priest that you don't even know where he came from that I'm declaring to you. And he said in verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So that's why you need a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was made perfect to make you perfect. Now let's just preach this for a little bit. In the Old Testament, a priest after the order of Aaron, every year they would come up and just repeat over and over the sacrifices. They would repeat over and over the same things because they were trying to do something by works
by works. And you cannot come to God by works. Now that was something temporary, a temporary thing that was put in place. But you see, you can tell that it was not sufficient because it had to be repeated over and over and over again. You see, the Bible tells us that he, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. He only had to go in once. And by that it took once, one time is all it took. One time is all it took. And that's all it takes for you. You don't have to keep getting baptized over and over and over again. You don't have to keep coming back and doing the same works over and over again. One time that God touches you is sufficient. When God does something, he does it for good. When God comes on the scene and does something in your life, he does it for good. And you know, many of the denominations, they believe that once saved, always saved. They're looking at it wrong. There is a truth to that though. Once you are really saved, you are always saved. Not that once you're saved, you can go off to the honky-tonk and commit adultery and go doing all kinds of stuff, filth of the world. But once you are really saved and God takes that old nature out of you, he's done it once for all. He's done it. He's finished the work. Hey, when God does something, he does it completely. Or say it like this, when God does something, it takes. When God really does something, it takes. You don't have to keep trying to work something up to be saved. God is the one that does the work. You see, we have a high priest that can make us perfect. Now in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, it says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So that's what this priest, this high priest after the order of Melchizedek came to do, was to give you the ability to go on to perfection. Now I know this stumbles a lot of people. How could I be perfect? How could I ever come to a place of perfection? You see, if you receive the word in the right way, it begins to take a claim on your life. And it begins to take away all the things that you used to do. And you begin to more and more line up with God. But the perfection is not in your works. The perfection is in what he has already done. The perfection is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood of Jesus Christ is taking a hold, it's taking effect in your life. It's the word of God making you adhere to his own word. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And Hebrews chapter 7 verse 11 says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, if perfection would have come by that Old Testament, the priesthood after the order of Aaron, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? In other words, you needed a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. So what I'm trying to get across to you is when you listen to the sermon, who is this Melchizedek? Don't just leave it playing in the background, but picture in your mind that Paul is trying to explain to you, who is Melchizedek? What is he doing? What is his purpose? His purpose is to make you perfect. When Melchizedek comes upon the scene, he's there to make you perfect, to make the believer perfect, to do what the Old Testament priesthood of Aaron could not do. This priesthood is different. It's there to make you perfect, to make the believer perfect. The priesthood of Melchizedek is to bring a perfect word from a perfect God, to make a perfect bride, to be clothed like God wants you to be clothed, to be dressed for the marriage, to be clothed so that you can meet him in the air. You see, a priest after the order of Aaron could not make you perfect. You needed a priest after the order of Melchizedek to make you perfect, to preach of good things to come. Perfection comes in Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 13 says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. And Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This blood of Christ is Melchizedek. Christ was Melchizedek, and it's his blood that purges you. It's his blood that purges your conscience from the old way of you thinking, from your dead works. Do you know what dead works are? dead work. So when you first started coming to church and you began, you put the money in the offering plate and you paid your tithes, but it was dead works. It was dead. You come and you just started doing things. You came to church maybe because somebody told you, but it was dead works. But then one day, slowly as you began to hear the word, it became a living reality. It resurrected from dead works to a living Christ, and you began to serve the living God. And guess what? God wants to resurrect you from your dead works of just coming to church and filling up a pew to where you serve a living God, and you're actually tabernacling God on the inside. Who was Melchizedek? We'll say it like that. Who was Melchizedek? Brother Branham said he was a person. He was a person. Scripture says he was a man. He was eternal. He didn't have father and mother. He was without beginning of days or ending of life. And Brother Branham went on to say it was what it was God changing himself. God, listen to how he says this. God changing himself into person. Meditate on that. Chew on that for a little bit. God changing himself into person. And he used the word Greek, the Greek word God and Morphe, which he said meant changing his mask. In other words, Brother Branham in Christ is revealed in his own word, begin to relate how the prophets actually preached to God descending as he came down, and he compared it to that vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. The dreams. Y'all, excuse me. The vision of the head of gold coming all the way down to the feet. And he said, now that was a vision, a prophecy of the world systems. But meanwhile, God was actually coming down the ladder from God, coming down to the feet, all the way down to where there was a little baby crying in the manger. And then God began to go up. And how's he doing it? He's doing it by the spoken word. So you can begin to understand why Brother Branham preached from attribute to word to flesh, because the word has a crucial, critical part of that. Y'all, I hope I'm not pouring on too much all at once. Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham said, notice, like the sculpture, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God has done to this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid, and it's supposed to be revealed in this age. All of these things has been hid. It's supposed to be revealed. Now, the Bible says they will be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And he takes the mask, he whips the cover back, and there is the thing that he's been revealing all this time. And he said, and that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up. And it's been hid since the foundation of the world, and it's sevenfold mystery. And God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, he would take the mask off the whole thing, and we could see it. What a glorious thing. He would take the mask off the whole thing, and we could see it plainly. God in Morphe, masked in the pillar of fire, masked, veiled in the pillar of fire. God in Morphe and a man called Jesus. Brother Branham said, God in Morphe in his church. God above us, God with us, God in us, the condescending of God. And he said, that was God above us, God with us. Now it's God in us, the Holy Spirit, not the third person, the same person. You know, there's so much packed into this message. He's breaking out. Do you realize why it's so important for you not to believe in a Trinity? Because if you believe in a Trinity, then you believe that that person that's in the, on the inside of you is not the same person that created the world, not the same person that spoke the world into existence. But if you have the correct revelation of the oneness of God, then you know that that person that's tabernacling himself inside of you is the same one that spoke the world into existence. And you can see that it's God in morphing himself. God moving, changing his mask from the pillar of fire to Jesus Christ. And now in you, now he's revealing himself in you. And in this last day, he's going to tear the mask off and reveal what revealed to you. That's where he's hiding now. He's veiled in you. And listen, I want to say it like this. He's not veiled in you if you're still stuck in adultery and the things of the world and living in
looking at pornography and doing things that you're not supposed to do. He's not veiling you just because the preacher's saying it over the pulpit. He's veiling you if you have been feasting on the eternal words of life. If you've been eating at the banquet table and the word has been consuming you and you know it. If God has revealed it to you, then he's veiling you. Brother Ram talks about how in the beginning God dwelt alone with his attributes, as I spoke of this. I'm going to move fast. I'm not going to dwell a lot on these things. So that's his thoughts. There was nothing, just God alone, but he had thoughts. It's important. Now, these are important things. Brother Ram's just not saying this. He had thoughts. Thoughts first. Then from the thought comes the word. You see, he goes through it. It looks like something real bored. He's saying, and Christ is revealing his own word when he begins to talk about how the prophets caught the thought of God. And then they spoke it. They caught the thought of God and they spoke it. And that word that they spoke actually expressed a living manifestation of God. It actually, they spoke the body of Jesus Christ, because they prophesied that he would come from a virgin. They prophesied of where he would be born. And they spoke it, and they spoke it. Why? Because they caught the channel of the thought of God. He said, notice those who have denied eternal life. Oh, let me skip over that quote. I'm trying to move along here. And he said, remember you, your eyes, your stature, whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is the expression word. After he thought it, he spoke it. And here you are. After he thought it, he spoke it. And here you are. See, you are a product of the spoken word for your age. That's why you're here as a Christian. That's why you're sitting in the pew tonight, because God thought it. And then it was spoken. And then you received it. And that's why you're here. He said you were there in his attributes. You don't remember it. No, because you're just a part of his life. You are a part of God when you become a son or a daughter of God. So the way that God amorphes himself, even back there as the Logos came out, Brother Branham explained it in this sermon. He thought it and then he spoke it and then there it was. He thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. You see why you come from a word birth? You actually come from the mind of God that was spoken out, and there you are. Now you are sitting here. You've been changed from that old creature that you are because God thought it. He thought of you. He thought of your stature. He thought of the way that you would be, just like that little redhead girl that Brother Branham used as an example. He thought of it. He thought of it, and you now are the manifestation of that spoken word that was spoken. Here you are right now. That's why in John chapter 5 verse 24 it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, he that heareth my word and believeth, or brother, as Brother Branham said, understands, if you understand, and believeth, understands on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You've passed from death unto life because you've heard the spoken word spoken over you, spoken into your soul, and it changed you, and it came, that word came from the thought, right from the thought of God. That's where the Logos came from, the thought of God, the thought, the attribute, and out from God expressed the Logos. This might be a little bit deep this tonight, but it'll help you. That's why Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Not to just to leave them. You need the principles, but let's go on. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Not laying it again. You don't need to lay it again because he entered once for all. He paid the price and one time was sufficient. So now let's go on. Recognizing what God has done, recognizing what Melchizedek has done, that he paid the price. It's time to go on to perfection, and you're perfected by the word, by the spoken word that came from the thought of God, that's preached over you, that's received into your heart. That is what is perfecting you, making you a perfect bride. Brother Branham said, from the great beginning, Spirit then came down to be the word, bringing itself out. The word, now listen, he said, the word, he's talking about the Logos being expressed. He said, the word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoke out. Do you realize that's actually how God expressed himself in the beginning?
He spoke it. And that's why the spoken word is the original seed. Because when God thinks it's got to be spoken. That's why in the rapture, when Brother Brown preached the rapture, he said it's been spoken, now let it come to pass. Because God thought it, but it had to be spoken. And when it's spoken, it will come to pass. Do you realize that's why God has been trying to get us to speak? You come forth from the egg of the little baby eagle in the greatest battle ever fought, speaking. Because you come forth like the little baby eagle with your mouth. You come forth speaking, saying, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. And you come forth from the egg and you speak your way up to perfection because you echo back the words that God has spoken to you and you say, I believe it. Do you realize even when you say the words amen in church, that is coming from the Hebrew word emuna, which means faith. So when you say amen, you are saying faith. I believe that. And you are speaking your way out of your egg. You're speaking your way out. You're speaking your way up because you're echoing what God has already spoke. Listen, we've been looking for the church to come to a speaking condition all this time, but you were born speaking. You were born speaking the word. You come forth from the egg speaking. And it's time for the bride of Christ to realize who she is and to speak the word. Speak what you have heard. When you have heard the word, you have a right to speak the word. Don't let anybody ever tell you you don't have a right to speak it. Do you realize in this day you can look around and see all the things that are taking place? People do not, the devil does not want you to speak. That's why there's this movement to get away from the fivefold ministry, because the devil does not want people to speak. That's why the devil's trying with all this coronavirus and stuff to keep the churches closed, because now the bride, after all this time, the bride has something to say. After all these years of confusion and everything, now it's come down to a razor edge, and the bride has something to say. It's time to speak. The speaking time is now. It's time to echo back what the prophet has already said. It's time to echo back what was in the back part of God's mind. It's speaking time. Brother Brown said his first being was spirit, God, supernatural. All right, the great eternal. His first being. Was spirit, God, supernatural, the great eternal. Second, he begins to form himself towards flesh in a theophany. It's called the word, a body. This then is the state he was in when he met Abraham, was called Melchizedek. He was in the form of theophany, the word that had come from the thought for the spirit God. We'll say it just as in that pattern of looking at it, that God thought it. And then here comes the word. He was in the form of theophany. Now we'll get to that and prove it in a few minutes, the Lord willing. He was the word. Now Brother Branham said, a theophany is something that you could not see. It could be right here now, yet you cannot see it. Now compare that. Let's speak spiritual now. A theophany could be right here, right now, and you cannot see it. Now, he's talking about the word. The word. Now, bring that over to spiritual. That a revelation of the word could be right here, right now, and you could not see it. He said, now listen to the way he said it. He said, it's just like television. You are only subject to what the sight has been limited to see. But there is another dimension. Now, think about revelation now. A revelation of the word. There is another dimension that can be seen by a transformation by television. If you have a television, you can pick up that which cannot be seen. But if you have a transformation of your mind by the new birth, then you can pick up what you previously could not see. You can pick up a revelation of what God's word is. You can pick up a revelation of what he thought about you before the foundation of the world. If you're transformed. And the transformation comes by the renewing of your mind, comes by the word. The word that you hear actually transforms your mind, and then you become, this might sound a little bit carnal, like a television that can pick up the thing that you could not see. And he says, so is it that Christ is here. The angels of God are here. And someday in the great millennium to come, it'll be just more real than television or anything else because they are here. You know, I was reading another sermon where Brother Rand began to express how that our spiritual senses are so dimmed over. But every now and then, something, you'll get just like a little glimpse in that other world. You see, right here in this building right now, there are angels present. There are, because the Bible says that the angels of God camp around about those that fear Him. The Bible says it, and that's how we know that they are. And Brother Branham said, every now and then something will just strike you and you'll begin to, you want to cry or jump up and down or weep or just get closer to God. And he said, because every now and then you bump up against an angel. You're bumping up against something in that realm and you just get a little taste, you get a little glimpse. Your senses begin to give away. There's something else and your natural senses cannot see into that dimension, but God has given you a sense that allows you to see into that other realm, a sense by faith. And that comes by the spoken word. And Brother Branham said, and Christ is revealed in his own word. He said, God. Now, you see why there's these little mysteries, that these nuggets that are hidden between the lines of what Brother Graham's saying. It sounds like he's just saying something just to say. But listen, if you have ears to hear, then you'll overcome, like the book of Revelation says. He that hath an ear to hear. He said God can talk. Do you believe God can talk? He talked to Moses on the mount in a burning bush. Now see, we're talking about the spoken word. The spoken word brings the thought out into expression. So he starts talking about God can talk. Do you believe God can talk? He talked to Moses on the mount in a burning bush. Do you believe that? Yes, sir. He talked to John in the form of a dove. He talked to him. He spoke to Jesus on Mount Transfiguration before Peter, James, and John. He can talk. He's not a mute. God can talk. We have a God that loves to talk. We serve a God that not only can talk, but does talk, that loves to talk. So he spoke to Jesus on Mount Transfiguration, and he spoke to Jesus before a whole multitude of people when the people said it thundered, but it was God speaking to Jesus. And almost all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus speaking. Jesus speaking. He is God, so God can talk. And that's why Paul is laying that out in Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God loves to talk. He spoke the world into existence. He framed the worlds by his word. But now he gave you the ability to speak. Do you know that's what he did in the Garden of Eden? He spoke the world into existence and then he dipped down and gave Adam the right, the power to say, mountain, move over here, move over, stop, wind, stop blowing. On the day of Pentecost, he put in Peter's mouth the keys to speak and to open up the way into righteousness. Peter began to speak. You know, at the end of the masterpiece sermon, he talks about how the master builder struck that image and said, speak, because God wants you to speak. God is a God who loves to talk, and he wants you to speak because the word is the expression of that thought. You see, all these prophets, the Old Testament prophets, they caught the thought. They caught the thought. And that's why Brother Branham and the Christ is revealed in his own word spent so much time talking about how that's why they had to get away and sit away from other people so that they would not be influenced by politics, so that they would not be influenced by the stuff that you see on TV, by the nonsense that you see in the world. They would get away so that they could receive from God the thought. Why did they need to receive the thought from God? So that they could speak it. He said, now Brother Branham said, and Christ is revealed in his own word. Now that's the reason Jesus could say, the ones who spoke to you, you call them gods who spoke to you by the word of God, and they were gods. Those prophets, when they were anointed with the Spirit of God and brought exactly the word of God, then they were gods. It was God's word speaking through them. Not their words, but it was God's word speaking through them. And you see, in this day, we've heard not the words
of a man, but the word of God actually speaking down to us to change us, to mold, to cause us to recognize where the Son of Man is in this day. What is the Son of Man? What are all these mystical, mysterious things that have been probed at for all these time? I want to testify a little bit. We were coming up the road and Zach started telling me his revelation of what the Son of Man is. And let me tell you, it is refreshing to hear a young man come up after all of the trials and all the nonsense that's been going on in the message all these years, for somebody to come up that knows what the Son of Man is. And he said, it is so plain. Pardon me, Zach. He said, it's so, you can see it so clearly. How could anybody not see what the Son of Man is? Now, I'm not saying that because he's my son. I'm just saying it because it is a thing, to be locked, whatever you want to say. Anyway. Let's just go on. The prophets caught the thought. The prophets were speaking what was in God's thought. They caught God's thought and they spoke it so that you could catch, the people could catch the revelation. Don't you remember that's what Pharaoh's problem with Moses was? He said, y'all can go out in the desert a little bit, let the elders go out, but if the people catch it, I don't want the people to, just y'all, the elders can go out, but don't let it get among the people. When the people catch the revelation of the anointing for their hour, something is on its road. Let me see, I'm skipping over some quotes to save some time here. I really don't want to tire you out and everything. I tell you, it plays with a minute. You think ministers get up here and they battle stuff. The devil's constantly putting stuff in your mind and you have to push that away, you know, thinking that people don't want to hear what you got to say and they're getting tired and everything. So y'all just pray for me. And who was this Melchizedek? He said, then from that he become the word, the theophany that could appear, disappear, and then he become flesh and return back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin, to be tempted. And then if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But he said, but look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. That's why the Bible says he that's born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. And he said, you don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking. The word received throws your body into subjection with the word. And that's why we'll say, do you realize when you hear the word, it's actually laying claim on you. It's actually claiming your life. When you receive the word and accept it into your life, God is actually, it's like putting footsteps on you. This is mine. And this is mine. And this is mine. And the more word you receive, the more claim God has on you. God is moving through your life claiming you. You know, I began to think of how that battle, the great battle of Iwo Jima, you can see it's got that famous photograph of the soldiers. They're putting that flag down. And you see that signified that they had claimed that land. After the battle was over, they put that flag down on the land to signify that now that was in the possession of the United States of America. They had conquered that. And then you go over and you read in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4 and it says, he brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. So you see, he's brought me to the banqueting house and now here we are seated at the banquet. And we're eating and we're eating and the more you eat, he puts his banner over you, which is love to show to you that now you are my property. He's claimed you and you see as he claims you, all those things that you used to do, it goes away from you because it's not the property of the devil anymore. Now you are God's property. He's put his claim on you and now where maybe you used to drink and smoke and cuss and swear, you don't do those things anymore because his banner is over you. You are his property. You become a prisoner of him. He's got you. And he said, when you become subject to that spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that spirit. And that spirit is nothing in the world but the seed word made manifest or quickened. Hallelujah, made alive. Do you see? That is the action of this priest after the order of Melchizedek bringing you into perfection. He's perfecting you by the hearing of the word. By the preaching of the word that you catch the channel of the thought that was delivered by the prophet and you receive it and it's claiming your life And the more that you hear, the more it claims your life until you've been changed. Until the final step is your whole being is changed. Your body is changed. And then you'll see the end of the whole story. The seventh seal has come to an end. The word is bringing you to perfection. You become part of the high priest by receiving the word.
Amen.
Oh goodness, I'm gonna try to find a place to stop now. y'all, if I kept preaching, we'd be here till 9:30. So let me. All right, here we go. Here's a good stopping place. Now, Brother Branham, at the end of Who Is This Melchizedek, he begins to talk about how that when Jesus came upon the earth, there were many people that were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Son of Man. And he talked about how had Peter and Andrew, their father had told them what to look for, this Messiah is going to be a prophet. And when he comes on the scene, that will be the identifying characteristic of the Son of Man, the prophet. And you know, that's been a sticking point for so many that they look to Brother Branham as the Son of Man instead of looking to the identification. You see, what we're talking about is that the word, the thought came forth and was spoken. So the identifying characteristic of the Son of Man is that it will be a product of the spoken word. It will have been spoken and somebody will have received that word and believed the word for that day. Now, Brother Branham said, now it's promised in these last days that this same God, this same Christ would come back here and reveal himself as Son of Man. Why, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he'd let those Jews go by with and give them that messianic sign and then come to the end of the Gentiles teaching and let them just go on in theology, he would be unjust. He has got to do the same thing because the Bible said so. He is the same. And he has promised in Malachi 4 and all the different scriptures that the last days the church would be setting just exactly like it is today. And the world would be. And Brother Branham goes on to say, he said that Melchizedek was flesh, represented himself in a human body, and then later he was made flesh. And now tonight he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now tonight he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now tonight that thought that was in the mind of God has been spoken out. It's been expressed. And that because it was spoken, now it's made manifest. And so there you can see that the Son of Man has got to be on earth. Because then he says, who is this Melchizedek then? That's the same yesterday, today. He said, that Melchizedek was flesh. Then who is this Melchizedek then? That's the same yesterday, today. Never had no father, never had no mother. He never had no beginning of days. He never had any end of life. In other words, deity made manifest in flesh. This person will be somebody that didn't come, that came from the attribute of God and is going back. Somebody that is made manifest that came from God and he met Abraham. And what kind of a sign did he perform? Then when he was made flesh, he said it would repeat again just before the end time. Do you believe that? And how many times down through the age when you sent things, people failed to get it, Brother Branham said. How many times down through the age when you sent things, people failed to get it? Man is constantly praising God for what he did and saying what great things he is going to do. But ignoring what he's doing, right now. Veiled in Morphe, veiled behind something, veiled tabernacle, just the way that it was in the Old Testament, veiled behind a pillar of fire, veiled behind badger skins, veiled behind something that you would not expect to see, veiled behind where he tore open that kookaburra and put the wheat down on the inside, veiled and all that, and there's where God is veiled and it goes over the eyes of the wise and prudent. It goes beyond anything that they can comprehend because God is veiling himself. Christ is revealed in simplicity and hidden in the same. And what is more simple than the tabernacle, a vessel of just a simple little Christian coming to church. A simple little Christian just going about their life. You know, so many times we want to find what God wants us to do, and in Christ is revealed in His own. Brother Branham said that God thought of me preaching and you sitting there listening. How much simpler can it be that you predestinated place that's just to sit in your pew and receive the word for your day? You don't have to run around doing nothing. You don't have to cook up anything. Just receive the word. Amen. The musicians can come on forward. Amen. And we'll end on that. Paul was preaching in 1 Corinthians. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. Because now we've come from where we couldn't see clearly to a place where we can see Him face to face. We can look in the mirror of God's Word and see God staring back at us. When you come to perfection, it will change the way that you look at your brother and sister. It will change the way that you look at the church. It will change the way that you look at situations in the world, because perfection makes you look at things different. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and just worship God. I believe that the bride should have something to worship about.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
You believe that?
No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King.
Because we've been quickened from death unto life.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying, no more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King.
We just ask, Lord God, that you move upon the scene of this situation and cause them to hear you.
We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see
Let's
the King.
Let's join our faith, Lord, and there's a word, Lord, where you said if two or three were joined, agreed together concerning anything that you would bring to pass.
To
and we ask, Lord, that you would just put a hedge of protection around our brother and keep him safe, Lord, from all this sickness stuff that's going around. That you protect our brother, and we believe it, Lord God. And now, Lord God, it's been spoken, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that you'll bring it to pass. We believe it, Lord Jesus. We ask these things and this blessing upon our brother in your name. Believe it, Lord God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah.
Amen. Love the Lord.
Amen.
All hearts and minds clear.
Amen.
Anything else?
Make sure they get to the banquet.
Make sure you get what time? I don't even know. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock at Saturday. Don't forget the banquet for pictures.
Everybody know where
it's at. Everybody should know where it's at. We'll. If not, we'll figure that out and get you the information and all of that. All right, let's just go to the Lord and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence tonight. Thank you, God, for your grace to us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. So many things to thank you for in this hour, Lord God. We're truly a blessed people, Lord Jesus. While the heathen rages outside the doors, Lord, I believe that you protected your little bride down in Goshen, Lord, and you're watching over her, keeping her safe in this hour of strife and confusion. And Lord, you've taken away our confusion, Lord God. You've taken away, Lord, you've given us a sound mind and transformed our mind and given us a reason to rejoice and to worship, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of these things. And we just pray, God, that you'll bless your people as they go forth to their homes, Lord, and give them traveling mercies on the way home. Be with them, Lord Jesus, and bless them each and every one, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.